Hi, how are you people? I'm so glad that you are here. You are listening to What Would Tracy Sue Do? Where we ask better questions about things that matter. Okay, my friends, coming up, I have two episodes you do not want to miss. They are Sex Ed for Girls and Sex Ed for Boys. One episode each. I think the official titles are Sex Education, Your Mother Won't Tell You, But This Mother Will. All right. And I mean to tell you, I went there. I took this from a question that I received from a girl who wanted to prepare for the first time having sex. And I felt like this was something that needed to be taken seriously and deserved its own episodes. Boys and girls are very different, very, very, very different in how they approach sex and the issues they have to deal with regarding sex. Parents, this is a podcast you will want to listen to. It is also a podcast kids should spread around because this is the nitty-gritty real stuff about sex in today's modern world, in today's media porn culture, in today's changing gender roles. It's a big issue. It's really intense. It's really critical. And it is unedited, my friends. Like, I went there. So you don't want to miss that. Also upcoming, man, I have tried to schedule an appointment to do a podcast with my good friend Christy Teal, who is a leader in the CBD industry. We are going to be doing a couple of episodes about CBD. We're going to talk about the health benefits as well as the legal realities around CBD and plant medicine in general and the big pharma industry. So you don't want to miss that. So I'm going to encourage you to go and subscribe. You can do this on your podcast app or you can do it on my website, which hopefully is working. I'll tell you more about the tech issues that I have been having in terms of just slammed doors in my face in order to help me with perfect timing. So we've got all of that stuff coming up. It's super cool. If you would like to support this podcast, subscriptions are great, shares are great, and also purchasing from the show notes using links that I provide to products that I really care about and believe in are fantastic. Some of those products include CBD, which is an anti-inflammatory, anti-stress supplement that you cannot get high from, even though it is a cousin of marijuana. It is not marijuana. And it is a lifesaver. It has stopped me from clenching my teeth so hard at night that I literally have killed the roots of my teeth and had to have root canals. Even during the day when I don't feel stressed, my teeth clenching does not lie. My body does not lie. And yours doesn't either. If you think about everything in your body that could go wrong, at the root of that, somewhere, either causing it or making it worse, is inflammation and stress. Okay, inflammation and stress. So regardless of whether you believe that CBD will cure cancer or whether you believe that it will lower your blood pressure, whatever you hear about CBD, I know these two things to be true. You have a cannabinoid system and this supplement, it's a plant-based herbal supplement, which will not get you high, is great for inflammation and stress. It comes in things like muscle rubs. I use muscle rubs a lot, especially if I have a migraine. I will take a few oral drops of CBD and then put the CBD rub on my head or neck, and it's pretty miraculous. I'll even put it on my lips. They have skincare products. One company that I really like, they're an organic, really high quality CBD company, a leader in the industry, is Elixinol. You can go straight to their website at tracysue.com/CBD. When you purchase from this link, It actually gives me a commission. It's not an MLM, so I'm not trying to sell you a business. It just straight up gives you a great product, small commission. I think it's 10 or 15% comes directly to me, and that really helps this podcast and my life to continue. So, wow, this one today, I did not know that I was going to go here quite so soon, but I think it's really important because I, like you, am tuned into energy, and it has a very intense effect on me, like my brain, my mood, my ability to process information, my physical body is very, very, very much affected by our lunar cycles. This, I don't know why this comes as a surprise to me or anyone else, because we know that women cycle with the moon. Every month we have a 28-day cycle that is controlled by the moon and the way that our universe is aligned. Gravity, the oceans pulling and pushing, like everything we have going on the planet actually is very influenced by this. But for some reason, lately, this has taken me, like I've gotten a new awakening about it. So if you know anything about me, maybe you follow me on Facebook, maybe you've been following my blog for years, you know that the last couple of years have been hard. And I know so many of you have experienced the same thing. And there are lots of things influencing this. And I lately have come to believe that actually a lot of it is energetics from the planets and the moon and our universe and our atmosphere. Things are changing so quickly. Time has changed so quickly. And those of us who are sensitive and have learned to tune in to our deeper, more intuitive self, the part of us that I call soul, or spirit, is really has had a rough time. I mean, a rough time. I look back 4 years ago and I was happy and thin. Like even in the pictures, you can just see the joy popping right out of me. And people really liked me then, right? Like people love to see another person with that kind of joy. It's energy that's contagious. So people flock to you and they want to be all about you. Boy, but what I've discovered is when you change the rules and your energy shifts and it's no longer about helping other people primarily and receiving joy, whoo-wee, the reaction can get fierce and violent and fast. Now, during these periods of roughness, of hardness, it often feels like law of attraction doesn't work. And frankly, I have had my struggles with law of attraction these last few years, and it has taken me a bit to sort of see what has been happening and how law of attraction has actually been working for my benefit. Now, I'm sharing this information with you because I know that if you're tuning into this, you have been experiencing something very similar in terms of life just getting harder and optimism just getting harder and hope being really hard to cling to. And watching the news has become like a traumatic experience for my soul and yours, just to see like, what the fuck is happening? Is this really who we are? And it's just been hard. Like the Obama years, I think back to those and I think, oh my God. Oh, it was just so easy to feel good because there was this energy of hope and optimism and, you know, manifesting really what I want and being able to easily tune into intuition and have the outcome be positive. And, oh man, I believed I could do anything and I had a business built on the idea that I could help my clients do anything. And it abruptly came to a halt when we elected a psychopath, an open misogynist with open bigotry to the office of the United States president, who is basically a fundamental leader of the world, right? Like how crushing is that to the human soul to see that we've chosen misogyny and bigotry and hate and chaos over that beautiful, restful optimism we were experiencing? during this transition, it has been hard. My business crashed because it was built on hope. My direction floundered. Like I just, it's been like slogging through quicksand and mud for a long time. And frankly, we were going through an international shock, like truly an international shock. How did this happen? How have we become this? What is wrong with our system that these are our values? A massive confusion about why we exist. Like I have seriously gone through an existential crisis about why I, as a human being, should even bother being alive. Like if this is it, what am I even doing here? And I think we've gone through sort of a collective existential crisis. And I think we're starting to come out of shock and we're starting to say, okay, if I can't live this way, what is the way in which I can live? And the things that I've discovered about law of attraction lately during this rough period of time, are just barely becoming clear. I'm just barely getting some clarity about it in the last few days. We had a solar eclipse and a lunar eclipse in July. And this follows like 2 years of really intense eclipses in my sign, Leo. And it just has shaken me like in a really intense way where I've really understood that a lot of my personal value for my own being, like my value about whether I am succeeding or failing in the world has been based on doing what I do, what I accomplish, what I can knock off the list, how much I can help other people, how much I can self-sacrifice, how much I can give my energy to others to make their lives better, even at the cost of myself. So, boy, in the last, I would say 2019, when 2019, I had a real rough time starting in, as soon as the election came, about 5 months after the election came, I just could not figure out why on earth I was even here. Like, it's too hard. Why is everything so fucking hard? If it's this hard, what is a human being's motive for living? I started thinking thoughts like, no wonder they had to make suicide a mortal sin where you would literally go to hell. Because what is the motive of being here on earth if this is what it is? Like, if this is all there is, why am I even here? So I'm coming out of that. I feel better. I have strangely found some answers with YouTube astrologers. Actually, YouTube astrologers have made me feel so much better because it's not just me. It makes me feel like maybe there are forces that are outside my control. You know, God, forces outside my control, Mother Nature, forces outside my control. Okay, and how do I surrender to those? And how do I make sense of those? And how can I come to an understanding that makes it okay for me to be alive on this planet? And how can I sustain my own energy in my relationships and in my body? Sustain became my word of the year. For the first year in 13 years, I've not done a dream board this year because things have been so in flux that it is not a time to be deciding what we want. In 2018, essentially, what we did was relearn all the lessons of the past phase. All the lessons of your patterns from the past phase. This is my challenge. Go to 2018 and look at what you learned that year. What patterns did you repeat and then reject again? What lessons did you learn and think, oh my God, I already learned this? It was like a recap year, right? And for me, that included, indulging other people's need to suck energy from me, finding my value in service to others, even if it was unreciprocal, indulging, falling in love with an addict,
alcoholics who are inevitably going to be self-centered, selfish, non-reciprocal, allowing myself to be used in that way, indulging in my own addiction shit with drinking and smoking, things I had quit years ago. Just every single lesson that came to me in 2018, I thought, oh my God, I already learned this and I am fucking done with this, right? In 2018, I relived it, relearned it, and then finally came to the conclusion, I am done with this bullshit. Well, what happens when you tell people you are done with your old patterns? I'll tell you what, fierce anger. That's what. I mean, like, fierce anger, just shocking anger, just with a like a velocity and an intensity that's completely out of proportion to the physical reality happening around you, right? When you draw new boundaries and you say, okay, my primary, here's one for me, and maybe you can relate to this or apply it to another situation in your life. When I started the last chapter that I've been in, that we've been in collectively, so let's say that's between 7 and 13 years, depending on how you look at it, my primary purpose was to help others find their soul's purpose and manifest that. Okay, and the way that I was doing that was unhealthy in a lot of ways. So for instance, instead of requiring them to step up and use their own energy to manifest and to change their lives, I was allowing them to use my energy. And this was mostly unconscious, right? Because I'm an empath and I couldn't figure out how to establish a healthy boundary. Basically, because I didn't know what a healthy boundary was. If it is completely out of your context, how are you going to know where it is? So 2018 was getting a lot of clarity on that. So I sat down. I do this ritual once a year. It's called 100 Things. I usually do it in November. And it's looking at the last year and it's listing 100 things that you did. Boy, I was on this streak where I was like, oh my God, I am not working. On my craft. I am going nowhere. What have I been doing for the last 2 years? And I sat down and I wrote down what I had been doing for the last 2 years, and every single thing on there was me using my energy for the benefit of others who often were unwilling to help themselves and were unreciprocal. So it was just them sucking me dry. No wonder I felt dry. Oh my God. I felt dry as the Sahara Desert just sucked dry. I had nothing left to give myself. My cup was empty. And I did this in the service of love and compassion and generosity. Yet it had a cost. And it was a cost I was willing to pay for 7 to 13 years in the last phase. And it is a cost I am no longer willing to pay. And mainly, I'm no longer willing to pay because I can't. Like, I just ran dry. I have nothing left to give someone else without reciprocity. Nothing. Nothing. And when that happens, the people to whom you were giving, because if you're a person who's getting their juice, I guess, or their purpose from helping people, what do you need to feel validated and to accomplish your goal? You need a whole lot of people who need your help. So you're surrounded by people who need help but are not capable or are unwilling to reciprocate that help. Man, and when you come to realize that your friendships are that kind of unreciprocal energy exchange, oh, that is painful. And when you withdraw that energy that you have been contributing to their well-being at the expense of your own well-being, I can tell you from firsthand experience, they do not react well. Like, the intensity, the violence, the anger, the furiousness of their reaction has been shocking and stunning and, to be truthful, so painful and excruciating to my soul. Seriously. Like, just, oh, ouch, ouch, ouch. Like, at the deepest parts of my heart, ouch. And from people I didn't expect either. I think that was the most shocking part. Like, there were certain people in my life who I knew this was the pattern, right? I knew it. And I knew it was going to be a relationship that I would lose. But when I began making statements, in the positive, it was shocking who stood up and had a violent reaction because I had cut off their energy supply. Shocking and devastating. It has taken me a bit of time. Let's see, this is July, and I would say that I started this understanding, this process of shifting what I want in December. I can remember I wrote down a statement that said that the people in my life would be non-judgmental and non-critical, and my expression, experimentation, growth, personal and spiritual growth, would not be considered a violation of the relationship. Now, this comes from past experience where my personal growth and who I actually am and my spiritual belief system and spiritual growth and energetic exploration has been a violation of the rules in my family, governed by the rules of the church and the religion that I was born into, which is Mormonism, by the way. Very strict rules. Not a lot of flexibility there on belief systems or behaviors. And it is considered a violation of the contract of being in relationship with my family. And boy, when I made that statement, my mom, my dad, and my brother lost their shit on me. I mean, we're talking about yelling, just violent attacks on who I am and what I believe and what I do and who do I think I am, right? Because I have violated the contract and now explicitly said that the people in my life do not perceive my growth as a violation of the relationship. I had the same experience with my ex-husband, in which when I started on my spiritual path, after coming out of a deep, deep, dark depression, after 9/11 and postpartum depression, my spiritual growth, my awakening, if you will, was considered a violation of our relationship. Non-critical, non-judgmental. Oh my goodness. I literally made this insight and wrote this down after a conversation I had with one particular friend. Within 15 days, she unloaded a violent character assassination of criticism and judgment on me. That was shocking. It was so painful. I mean, it was grief-worthy. All of this is grief-worthy. The people in my life have looked at me and been like, "What the fuck is wrong with you? Get your shit together." So frustrated with me. And I sort of have been having these epiphanies where I've heard myself with mantras that I have repeated that explains a lot about how law of attraction is working very well, by the way, in my life. And I want to tell you a few of those. So between these last two eclipses, so sometime early July, I was listening to my own thoughts, and I heard myself say, "Let what is working stop working. Let what is working for me stop working." And oh my God, did that manifest, right? Oh my God, that manifested. Everything I was trying was not working. And I literally heard myself say that to some friends and my kids. Everything I'm doing is not working. This has never happened to me before. I'm so frustrated. I don't know what to do. Everything in my life that was working is no longer working. And then I heard myself say it. And I had that mantra intentionally because it's how I quit smoking and drinking, right? So when you have a bad habit, you only reach for a new habit, a new way of doing something when what you were doing stops working. So if you really want to make a change in your life, in particular addiction or codependence or some kind of pattern that you're using, what you need to have happen is for those strategies of coping to stop working so that you are forced into finding a new way to live, right? Like it's not working anymore. So you can't just keep drinking because it's not working anymore. Like it's not giving you what you're after anymore. And this is how the drug Chantix works. And Chantix is it's a stop quitting drug. And the way that it works is that it stops giving your neuro pathways the positive feedback that it needs from a cigarette, right? So you smoke because it's working for you, because you have trained your brain to have a neuro pathway that works for you. You're getting a hit of dopamine, right? And you can only quit smoking when it stops working, and therefore you have no reason to continue to smoke. And that's the genius of this medication, Chantix. It's also applicable to any other thing, right? If you're drinking a lot, there's a reason that you're doing it. It's because it's working for you in some way. However, when it stops working, you have to figure something else out. Like this is basically tricking your mammalian reptile brain. I know that those are two different species, but we're talking about evolution here. You have a reptilian brain and you have a mammalian brain, right? And they continue to do things that work until they don't work anymore. And in 2018, I had come to some conclusions. This giving all of my energy away without requiring some kind of reciprocal energy was not working. This codependent, indulging people's excuses, their alcoholism, their stupidity, their refusal to put any effort into life and living that life and instead using me as the crutch and me getting my value from that could not keep working if I wanted a change. I could not keep going at the pace I had been going. Like, you probably don't know this, but I wrote 6 books in 4 years. I launched an entire membership program in which I created all new content, videos, the platform. I launched 5 other complete marketing packages, businesses, everything, like website design, branding for like 5 other companies. I published almost 12 other people's books that I edited, proofread, designed, published. I mean, I ghostwrote 2 entire books for other people. My productivity, I was a life coach. I met with people and helped them fix their lives. My productivity for the years between 2013 and 2017 was phenomenal. I mean, the amount of content that I produced, the amount of projects that I started and completed and was very successful at was more than a lot of people do in their whole lifetimes. However, that kind of productivity and feeding off the productivity in a productivity high led to burnout. And burnout is not the kind of thing that just needs a nap. Burnout will destroy your thyroid and your adrenal glands. And a nap does not fix that. Like these are serious medical issues that take a long time to recover. So basically my body was telling me, this cannot continue. You cannot continue to live this way. You have to live differently. So I had created this mantra, let what is working stop working, so that I would be forced to find a new way to live. Boy, that mantra fucking worked, man. Oh, it worked, and it was so painful. Simultaneously, I had an energy session in which I was given another mantra, and that was to stop judging myself on the values of men. Stop judging myself on the values of men. Stop looking at my success or failure on the values of patriarchy, masculine versions of success. We run on a patriarchal world, right? Our values for success are money, ambition, objects that we can afford to buy, what our tax return says in terms of how much money we've made, a certain lifestyle that we insist is successful, you know, the beautiful Instagram and Facebook life, the picture perfect relationship, the perfect body type, like all of that, all of those judgments about whether we're successful or not successful are patriarchal and masculine based. Right? They are the judgments of men. And as feminism came into being, the goal of women was to be allowed to achieve and reach success in a masculine paradigm. So I have this method of passive law of attraction in my life, in which on the reminders of my phone, I will write down these meditations, and they will pop up on my phone every day or a couple of times a day. And I will sort of passively see them, right? They pop up as reminders. I don't like sit down and repeat them and repeat them and repeat them. I don't have like a, you know, morning meditation practice where I, you know, read a list of things I'm trying to accomplish. I have this passive way of learning is what it really is. It's a passive way of learning and a passive way of bringing my brain back to what I really want to focus on. And so this has occurred in my daily life, right? This, I am going to judge my, I stop judging myself by the values of men, right? By the judgment of men. Okay. So how does this manifest in my life, right? So I'm so critical of myself about how much money I'm making, and I forget that my value was, my goal was never to get as much cash as I could in my bank account. Like, I want that. I don't even care about that, actually. What my true value is to be happy and live a certain kind of lifestyle. Now, the things that the people in my life were so angry about, and this is like a very recent epiphany, everything they're so angry about is that I'm not living up to the judgment of that man paradigm, right? That's what my dad's angry about. That's what my brother's angry about. That's what my ex-husband's angry about. That's why my neighbor recently told me that I can't get my shit together. And I'm like, well, what exactly does that mean? Because, you know, I own a home. I'm paying the mortgage. I'm extremely savvy with my resources. My kids go to really good schools. I drive an awesome bitchin' car that has 250,000 miles on it, no car payment. I have a backyard and art in my backyard. I have clothes I love to wear. I take care of myself. I have access to medical care. And here's what we know. Here's what we know scientifically and sociologically. We know that happiness does not increase after we have our basic fundamental needs met. Now, these needs can correlate to about $65,000 a year. And they're very very basic needs. They're basic needs, but they're hard to actually achieve unless you are working in a certain way in a masculine paradigm. Like, there's a strict rule about how you are allowed to achieve them. Now, I've achieved them, but I have not achieved them with the masculine paradigm, with the patriarchal norm, with the judgment and values of men. I have failed because I have not achieved these markers the way that I'm supposed to, quote unquote, achieve them. These markers include a good education for your children, safe housing, healthcare, food. That's about it. I mean, in America, transportation, all right? So you have the ability to live in a safe place. Your kids go to a good school. They get a good education where they're safe and they actually learn things. You have the ability to get around so that you can go do jobs and work. You have your health and the ability to take care of your health. Like, it's, you have food to eat, healthy food to eat. It's basic. In America, it's pretty fucking hard to get. But what I've come to understand is you can get those things and you will have the basic baseline for happiness, but you can get them without operating in a masculine patriarchal paradigm. And the outside world will judge the fuck out of you for how you get them. They will not look at your life and be like, wow, that is a really financially savvy chick who has figured out a way to get the basic ingredients for happiness in really creative, financially savvy, smart ways. No. They will look at that and go, well, you didn't get them the way that masculinity, that men, have judged to be worthy ways to get them. Therefore, I'm mad at you because you're not doing it right. I'm mad at you because you're not making it work the way I want it to work. I mean, this was the conflict in my marriage. It wasn't that I wasn't contributing. It was that I was contributing in a way he did not judge to be valid based on his masculine patriarchal perspective of success. That's the issue that my parents have. That's the issue that my brother has. That's the issue that my neighbor has. That's the issue that my friend who dumped me has, right? Here's how you are allowed to get these. And if you're not getting these things, if your goal is not your bank account, but your goal is a baseline of happiness requiring the ingredients for happiness, and you achieve those in other creative ways, now you're just cheating. Who do you think you are? You're not working hard enough. You're not doing it right. You're not allowed to do it that way. I have a friend who makes a really, 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 really good living, right? It's a living that any man, any judgment of patriarchy would consider success. Like, no question, total success. She does it in such a creative, non-hard work, I don't want to say passive way, because of course it's not passive. Passive income, give me a break. Like, she has a business. It's an online business. It doesn't take her 60 hours a week to do it because she's savvy and she's smart and she's creative and she's figured it out. Oh my God. Like, the people that she dates are angry about this. She's not working. She's working. She's not working the way you're working, but she's working. You're not contributing enough. You know, like, her ex-husband had the same judgment. You're not getting this the way that you should be getting it. You're not contributing in the way I decided. But it's on the way that men judge that, right? So if I judge myself that way, and I was judging myself that way, and I don't give myself credit for the fact that I actually have the ingredients in my life that I have achieved through smart, savvy, creative ways, then I am failing. So that's my challenge to you. Can you find ways to do that not judge yourself by the masculine patriarchy, whether you're a male or a female? Can we stop judging ourselves by this paradigm of working really, really hard, getting money in the paycheck, and then doing God knows what with it, right? Can we do that? Is that allowed? Evidently, it's a change of rules that people have a real, like, visceral reaction to. Other things that I have attracted into my life have come from a mantra that is actually really wonderful, critical, and also scary as fuck and frustrating like you would not believe. I have asked the universe to prevent me from doing the wrong things and from the wrong people entering my life. Okay, this is for good reason, of course. Like, I had Satan worshipers try to move into my basement. Fuck that. No fucking way am I going to let you do your shadow work in my house where my children and I are trying to sleep. Fuck that. Get out. Right? I want to be protected from the wrong people entering my life. So essentially, almost every date that I have ever tried to go on, bam, slammed doors. Right? It just didn't happen. Like, it just fell through, or they canceled, or we lost interest, or whatever. Like, I've been on, I don't know, no dates this year, like maybe one, because I have asked to be protected from the wrong people and the wrong opportunities and the wrong doors. Oh my God, I can't tell you how many doors I have tried to walk through to appease the masculine paradigm in terms of getting a job. I have sent out resumes. I have talked to HR people. I have applied to be, I went and got a license to be a marijuana dealer, which is really just a $12 an hour retail job that you can't actually support a family on. I have done the grocery store and the restaurant service, which, oh my God, that's hard work. It's low pay. It's, I mean, that is just, those doors closed pretty fast for health reasons. I tried to start an organizing and cleaning company and my wrist gave out and I like physically couldn't do it. I tried to be a substitute teacher. I went through like the $200 6-month process and within a month and a half was fired for reporting an act of violence at a troubled school and then not letting it slide when they didn't do anything about it. My life has felt like I'm in one of those storage facilities with doors that are all open and I keep going to one to try to walk through. Okay, I'll do this. Slam. Okay, I'll do this. Slam. I mean, even freelance work and ghostwriting, like jobs I'm so fucking qualified for that it's ridiculous that I haven't gotten them. Because the universe is doing what I asked it to do, which is close the doors to people, opportunities, energies, experiences that will be bad for me. And I want that to happen because I want to walk through the door that's good for me. I want the good guy to walk into my life, not the fucking narcissist. I've been there, done that. Thank you. No. Thank you. No. I want to be in the company of people who really are helpful to my life, who want to contribute to my growth instead of judge it and be angry about it. I want to be in the company of people who are not going to just suck my energy dry and give nothing in return. Therefore, the universe is actually giving me everything I want. But in the middle of it, I'm just going, oh my God, nothing is working. What is happening? What the fuck? This is too frustrating and it's terrifying as shit. It's so fucking terrifying. But again, that goes back to the three things that I've asked for. Let was working stopped working. Let me not judge myself from the values of patriarchy and define a new value system for success. Let the right people, not the wrong people, and the right opportunities, not the wrong opportunities, come into my life. Well, guess what? That really narrows your dating field. It really narrows your opportunities. It really narrows your success in a traditional patriarchal definition. And there's backlash, right? There is backlash. Even love. Like, I have asked to redefine love. I want a healthy version of love. And I know what that looks like now because I have it with my kids, which makes my relationship with my family of origin that much more painful and unsatisfying, because I can look at my kids and see that if you do not thrust a patriarchal, dogmatic definition of love on other human beings, it's not hard to be in love with who they really are. It's not hard to let them have their own path. It's really, really easy, and it feels really, really good. And if I've said I don't want to be in relationships that are unhappy, dysfunctional, make me feel like shit, that are unreciprocal, and that are based on patriarchy and are not a violation of our relationship for me to grow, then that pretty much excludes my family, right? Like, because my whole family system is based on a patriarchal religion in which any deviation is a violation of the relationship. The whole relationship is filtered through this paradigm. So I'm not even like having a relationship with my mother. I'm having a relationship with a church and a paradigm between myself and my mother. I'm having a relationship with my father with Fox News right in the middle of it, in which he filters everything he thinks he knows about me through this very patriarchal, bullshit, judgmental, critical paradigm that makes me the worst thing he could possibly think of. It has nothing to do with me. Like, I understand that. Like, none of this shit has anything to do with me. But I'm going to tell you the truth. It's painful. It's frustrating. It has had an effect on my hope and optimism that has been very trying. It has made me ignore health issues, thinking that they're character flaws, right? So my need to sleep constantly and my foggy brain turns out isn't like a fucking character failure. I have a serious thyroid issue, and I started making self-care a higher priority and found out through a whole bunch of tests that, okay, there's something that can be done about my 18-year constipation. There's something that can be done about my need to sleep 24 hours a day. But I have to care about myself enough to go, you know what? Screw other stuff and screw your definition of what I should be doing with my day. This is what I choose to do with my day. This is how I choose to accomplish the ingredients that go into basic happiness. My goal is not the same as your goal. My goal is happiness and health and good relationships and real love and real support. In our Constitution, we basically have three tenets, three values that are listed. Money is not one. Guns are not one. I'm talking about values to which we aspire. Those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. See, happiness was considered so important when we did this grand experiment. It was the goal, right? It was the goal. Liberty was the goal. Liberty from, not freedom to, liberty from. What I want liberty from is having my relationships be a false thing that the word love is slapped on, that's filtered through a patriarchal, dogmatic religion and worldview. It's not even hard, dude. It's not. You get rid of that dogma. You stop seeing it through that filter. And it is really pretty easy to just love people for who they are when you don't require them to adhere to the strict structure that's not even defined by your own self. It's defined by culture. It's defined by institutions. When you just let people have their experience in the world, it is not hard to love each other, to be kind to each other. It's only hard if you become seriously attached to this institution's version of how you must live and how you must love and what that even means. How you must be in relationship to people. If we're filtering it through these paradigms, it's not real. It's something else. It's not love. It's not acceptance. It's not connection. It's not intimacy. It's not community. It's something else. And I reject the something else. And that is deeply affecting my relationships, but also necessary for me to have personal peace and to define my own version of happiness and to create true, authentic love relationships that are not destructive to anyone's soul. But when you start that, it takes some serious fortitude, resilience, insistence, persistence to hold your ground and keep that boundary. And often you have to go through some really shitty emotions like grief, anger, frustration, fear, terror, hopelessness, despair, like walking through those in order to leave an entire paradigm that is damaging to you takes balls. And so often that's why we go back. We go backwards because it's so fucking scary in the gap. It's so fucking scary. You can see the falling to the cliff and cracking your brain open. You can feel it. You experience the loss of people that you love, even if they don't love you back in a pure, healthy way. You feel very lost when you quit smoking or drinking, because now what? Now you have to figure something else out, but you haven't got it figured out yet. Okay. You can feel like the only person on an elevator when you have changed the definition of what a healthy relationship that you are willing to participate in is, because all the people in your life, they were people from the former definition. So you can feel real lonely before new people show up. And it can be really devastating to see who leaves. But also, when you get to a place where the energy is clear enough and you can breathe and you can say, okay, this thing went right. Now there's a little bit of relief. This new person walked into my life. Now there's a little bit of relief. This person in my life that was sort of there, but I wasn't as close to, because I was spending my energy on other people who have now vanished. Now I'm getting closer to this other person, and that feels really good, and it feels more true, and it feels more authentic, and it feels more trustworthy. When you begin to make rules about the relationships in your life or the people in your life, like one of my rules is, one of my new standards is that if my kids are better at life than you are, you can't be in my life because you're too much fucking work and I don't have anything to give you. I don't want to give you anything. Figure your shit out, man. Figure your shit out. And for someone whose lifelong pattern, whose lifelong value has been placed in helping others, self-sacrifice, giving other people energy, saving people who are hell-bent on destruction, making excuses for people, lying for people. They don't really mean it. Yeah, they do. Yeah, they really mean it. Yeah, it's not a one mistake. It is repetitive mistakes. It is a pattern of mistakes that actually, if you translate them correctly, are abuse. He does mean to be that discouraging. She does mean to be that judgmental. He does mean get as much energy from you as possible. He does mean to lie to you. He's not lying to you because he had a bad childhood or his ex-girlfriend was mean to him. He's lying to you because that's his character and it's who he's choosing to be in the world. When you begin to see people for who they truly are, that's the other thing that I really changed in my life was I decided I wasn't going to keep lying for people to myself and to other people. Yeah, guess what? My husband really did that on purpose. Really. It wasn't because I failed to communicate my needs. It was because he chose to judge them as irrelevant and behaved in a very disrespectful way about them. It's not my job to make an addict not an addict. But yeah, he very much means to make that my responsibility and to suck my energy out to use for his own benefit without being one bit reciprocal. Yeah, he does mean it. He does. And when you start admitting that to yourself, it's very, very painful to see that all people are not as good as you. They're not good. They're being bad humans. They're being selfish, self-absorbed, mean, takery, irresponsible, unreciprocal for their own benefit. Egotistical, narcissistic. Oh, yeah, wait, he does mean it. I wouldn't do that to someone doesn't mean that they won't do that to me. And this whole idea that when we put good out into the world, it comes back to us, I think is really distorted. When we invest energy into people who are incapable or simply choose not to reciprocate in healthy ways. So to break that codependent pattern is like floundering because what's the other thing? Like, what's the other thing that you do? Like, if you're trained to be a codependent woman in the world, or a codependent man for that matter, if you're trained to be a codependent and to give and never expect anything to return, and your value is in self-sacrifice and helping others and expecting nothing for yourself, what is the opposite of that? You're taught that it's selfishness, but that's not the opposite of that. That's the receptacle for that. But that's not the healthy part. What does it mean to have a healthy relationship if you stop being a codependent? That is an unknown for you, and therefore it's terrifying, and it takes trial and error, and you go back and you repeat that mistake, which is essentially what 2018 was for me. Go back and repeat that mistake so that you can figure out how to do it differently and how you're like, don't let it work for me anymore, universe, so that I am forced to do something different, to learn a new way. And learning curves are hard, man. Learning curves are hard. So I have come to these epiphanies, these insights, and have been asking, show me the new way. Like, I'm done with these mantras. I'm done with this learning. What is the thing? What is the thing that is going to move me towards the healthy part? And I got a song. And I want to share this song with you because it is coming so naturally. That's another thing I've found with manifesting and law of attracting is if you're trying to manifest and law of attract the right thing, it's not hard. You don't have to keep reminding yourself. You don't have to set 15 minutes aside to sit still and make yourself repeat it over and over and over. Sure, I wrote it on my bathroom mirror. I have my passive learning techniques that I do. But when it's really meant for you, the song just stays there. It just comes. It just starts repeating itself. Like now I'm focusing on how do I fill myself up. Energetically, for the last 13 years, I have been focused on clearing all the garbage and healing all the past wounds and getting rid of all the ugh. But this phase is about filling myself up. This phase is about learning a healthy way to love and be in a body and be in the world, and about maximizing my resources without burning myself to the ground in exhaustion. So what does that look like? It looks like this. Everything I do and everything I try to do comes easily. It works out beautifully. Everything I do and everything I try to do comes easily. It works out beautifully. That's my little song mantra. And I'm telling you, it's coming easily. Like it's just singing itself. It's singing itself in my head. And I'm getting messages like synchronicities. I've asked for synchronicities, which is also another thing. Synchronicities to show you the path, like the little breadcrumbs that Hansel and Gretel left, only no one eats it and it disappears. This is a song that has been repeating itself in my head as well when I start to worry. I won't worry my life away. Hey, oh. Okay, so I'm reading articles and I'm saying it does no good to fear what may or may not happen because you're wasting your life. You just have to trust that. I am seeing comments on the internet in articles that I read. I'm being drawn to this message that I don't have to worry, that things are now going to start going right for me, that I have learned what I needed to learn, and I have broken the patterns that I had before, that I have been resilient enough to come through to the other side. Am I going to have no more resistance? I don't know. Maybe. For the first time in a long time, I actually have hope that that could happen. And within days and minutes, like literally days and minutes, I have gotten messages that I deserve it. Some things that I've been working on have come through. I feel better. I'm getting medications and medical help to explain things that have been fucking horrible mysteries, like how to take a shit. Like, that will fuck up your life, man. God, how to take a shit. Like, just basic. But that kind of basic has a real negative effect on your life for 18 years. Turns out, when I finally found the right practitioner and took the right genetic testing, which is fabulous, it's called GenoMind, and we'll talk about that another time. But it says, oh, basically, you have an enzyme that's not allowing you to process this properly, and this medication that you're taking causes serious constipation issues. Try this medication instead. What? Oh, you're not exhausted because you're excruciatingly depressed. You're exhausted because your thyroid is real fucked up. Here's some medication to fix that. Oh, your tenants are moving out and these tenants have been sucking you dry as your charging them has not increased due to your lease, but all of your utilities have. Okay, they're moving out. And now here's something that is going to work better for you. Here's the better solution. Things are working out for my highest good, but boy, was it a struggle to get there. And I am sharing this with you because I know that there are so many of you who are quietly feeling exactly the same way. Quietly trying to find your way out into something healthier, something that feels better. And I want you to know you're not the only one. Me too is a sacred phrase. I feel stuck. I know, me too. I feel terrified. I know, me too. I know my relationships are fucked up and I want to fix them, but I don't want to go through the grief and the loss of losing people I love. I know. Me too. I know I have to find a new way to live, and I have absolutely zero models. Zero models in my life for living a different way. I don't even know what that looks like. I know. I know, me too. I don't know what to do next, but everything I'm trying is failing. I know. Me too. Lucky you, but motherfucker, that hurts. It's terrifying. If we ask for our highest good to be done, that sacrifices your lowest good. And we are attached to our lowest good in so many ways. But I want you to take comfort in the fact that you're not alone. It feels like you're alone. Jesus Christ, look at Instagram, and God, it looks like you're alone, but you're not. There's a lot of posturing and posing and forcing positivity. Forcing positivity does not create positivity at all. It creates destruction and delusion. Facing your patterns and choosing to be different, now that results in happiness. You just have to go through the slog and the grief and the despair and the scariness first. Ah, it feels really good to do a hopeful and optimistic and inspiring podcast. It's been a while for me. I've been working through some serious feelings, and I know that you have too. And you know what? That's good. And I'm proud of you. It takes courage. It takes balls. It takes audacity to say, no, I'm going to live a different way, even if you don't get it. Even if you don't approve, even if you're angry, even if you've decided to leave my life, I'm going to live a way that makes me feel good. And the way that I feel is the important thing. The way that I feel about my life, the way that I feel about my relationships, the way that I feel in my body, that is the important thing. What you feel about my life is irrelevant and will no longer be entertained or indulged. Everything I do and everything I try to do comes easily and works out beautifully. I have been through the slog and I deserve that now, and so do you. It's been a rough time. There's no shame in experiencing it. There's no shame in acknowledging it. There's only bravery and courage. And good on you if you're in it and you're doing the work. Good on you. Because I'm telling you, I can feel the shift. I can feel it. I can feel it in my very breath. I'm breathing easier. I'm sleeping better. I feel it. I feel more natural optimism and hope. And I want that for you. So be brave and keep going. And if things aren't working, hold steadfast, because something new, a new way of doing it, a new way of living, a new way of being, you're learning that. You're learning that. I'm proud of you. I love you. CBD can help you through. TracySue.com/CBD. Make sure you subscribe and pass this around to people who need to hear this, because so many of us do, and I'm not hearing it in a lot of places. I'm hearing a lot of forced positivity and shaming for feeling bad. Law of attraction. You should never feel bad. That's crap. That's not how you get what you want. It's not. You get what you want by declaring what you want and then allowing yourself to go through the garbage and the shit and the grief and the loss and the pain to learn a new way. And bravo if you're brave enough to do it.